You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
October 14th is Election Day, but who to vote for, or perhaps who to vote against? At present, it seems many Canadians are uncertain how they will vote, or whether they will vote for the party they favour, or against the party they fear. I'm joined on the line this morning by Murray Dobbin to talk about the idea and practice of strategic voting. Murray is an author, journalist, and social activist. Hello, Murray.
Good morning.
Now, some people are advocating the ABC option, that is, anyone but the Conservatives. Why?
Well, I think Stephen Harper is probably the most dangerous politician to hold power in Canada in Canadian history. I mean, I'm in the maybe unenviable position of having tracked his political career virtually since it began in the early 90s when I wrote a book on the Reform Party, and of course he was the policy director for the Reform Party and responsible, along with Preston Manning, for all of the draconian policies that the Reform Party had at the time, the dismantling of Medicare, you know, the huge cuts to social spending, the decentralization of Canada, and sort of abandoning the federal role in any social policy. So I know this man too well, and he's not a politician like Joe Clark or other, you know, sort of mainstream party leaders who will change their positions on a dime, you know, if it gets them a few more votes. This man is a hardened ideologue, and his attitudes never change, and he will change like other politicians in recent years. He has managed to come to the conclusion that he can't be straightforward about his plans for the country, at least not completely straightforward. But there's no question of what he would desire. I mean, he was head of the National Citizens Coalition for a number of years when he left politics, and the National Citizens Coalition was founded in order to dismantle Medicare, to fight Medicare. So he's someone who is probably the only prime minister in Canadian history, and probably the only serving prime minister in the developed world who has contempt for his own country and what his own country has become. Now, whether he dismantle all that's been accomplished in the post-war period, you know, in 4 or 5 years, if you got a majority, or whether he would, whether he's gotten accustomed to exercising power and would do it over a longer period, is unknown. But there's no question about what he would like to do to the country, and he must be stopped at all costs.
What proportion do you think of Canadians can we tell that would prefer not to have a Harper majority?
Well, I mean, if you look at I'm an inveterate poll watcher and look at Canadian value surveys and study these things a lot, and I mean it's clear to me that 2/3 of Canadians could be described as social democratic in terms of their view of the world, their view of their community, and their understanding of the appropriate role of government. So, I mean, if you just transferred votes on that basis, you know, the NDP would get 67% of the vote. But of course, it's not that simple. There's all kinds of very complex factors that come into elections and how people vote. But certainly, I would say that the core vote for Harper and the Conservatives in terms of what he actually stands for is probably around 25%. I mean, there certainly are. There's conservative, very, very conservative people in Canada. I mean, there's no denying that, but certainly not anywhere near a majority. And as you see, even with a Liberal campaign, which is probably the worst campaign the Liberals have run in years, Harper can barely get over 38% of the population voting for him. So there is, you know, there's always a strong majority who oppose what he's doing.
Now, we're going to talk to you about strategic voting. I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I want to ask you first about what changes to our electoral system would make that unnecessary.
Well, I've long been a supporter of proportional representation, and my preferred system is mixed member proportional, which is something I've studied a bit in New Zealand when I did an ideas documentary series on New Zealand some years ago, and it's interesting. There was this neoliberal revolution in New Zealand, which completely transformed the country in terms of making it a sort of laissez-faire economy and minimal government. And it was going strongly, you know, even further in that direction until there was a referendum which voted for proportional representation. And as soon as the next election was held on the basis of proportional representation, that neoliberal direction was halted. And because it eliminates what we have in Canada, which is essentially executive government. Once the government gets elected and gets a majority of the seats, it can do anything it wants. And of course, it can get it. Right now, we're looking at Harper possibly getting a majority with as little as 37-38% of the vote. So I just think that that's if we don't go in that direction, then we get these ideological swings, although they don't swing very much, between the Liberals and Conservatives.
Now, in the absence of proportional representation, could the parties themselves cooperate?
Well, certainly. I mean, we got, if you think back about how we got Medicare, which is the most valued social program in Canada, and in some ways, you ask people what defines Canada, and they still say Medicare, even though it's been eroded over the last 10 to 15 years, and we got Medicare based on a minority government. It wasn't a coalition government, but it was a Liberal government with critical support from the NDP. And I think, if you look back at most of the things that we've accomplished since the early 1960s, they've been accomplished through minority governments. And I think that that governments can cooperate. Of course, the problem with the Liberals is that the Liberals are every bit as much a Bay Street party as the Conservatives, and so we have two very strong pro-business parties. But the Liberals at least are susceptible to pressure from a party like the NDP, whereas the Harper Conservatives clearly are not.
What voices have been calling for strategic voting for the anyone but the Conservatives vote?
Well, no particular organizations. There's been lots of individuals who've called for it, including myself. And I was just on the Rabble website, and there's Jim Standard from The Economist with the CAW is calling for it, and there have been initiatives in the last two elections calling for it, sort of coalitions of people, mostly of individuals calling for it. But there's been real problems with the calling for strategic voting, and that is that it hasn't been focused. And the problem with calling for strategic voting in every riding is that people don't have perfect knowledge of their riding. I remember Libby Davies was talking to me the other day, and she said that one of her supporters phoned up and was extremely anxious about the Conservatives and said they were thinking of voting Liberal in Libby's riding. Well, that would make no sense, because the Liberals aren't a factor. So it's very tricky. You unless you're a real political animal, when you call for strategic voting, people could end up electing a Conservative by doing strategic voting. So it needs to be focused in those ridings which are not already decided. I mean, there's only about, it varies between 50 and sort of 60 ridings in Canada where there is a real contest. The rest of the ridings in the country are pretty much decided. But there are 60 that will decide, who ends up being government and whether they have a minority or a majority.
Now, there is a website, Vote for Environment, that does help people with that. I went on and had a look at it yesterday. Can you explain to people how that works?
Well, what they've done, it's actually a very interesting site, and I've sort of recommended that people look at it as well. What they do is they've taken every riding in the country. I mean, they focus on the 60 hot ridings in terms of giving recommendations on based on their analysis of the riding. They do it for all the other ridings in the country as well, but only in the 60 do they make recommendations. And what they've done is they've taken the vote from the last election, and then they have adjusted it based on the current polling that is being done, and there's a lot of polls that are being done, and so they try and combine those two things and come up with a number that identifies which candidate has the best chance of defeating the Conservative candidate, and they adjust that basically every couple of days based on on whenever new polls exist. Now, I went through quite a few of them. I went through about 20, and there's some I disagree with, but most, I think, are quite good. And, of course, you don't have to take the recommendation. You can look at the numbers yourself. And I mean, some people have complained that there are a couple of NDP incumbents who I think, I think we should vote for. But because they're very close to the Liberals are very close in some instances to those NDP incumbents, the site, is sort of holding its fire until it's clearer. But generally speaking, it gives you the numbers, and you can go to your riding and find out whether you're in one of the close ridings or not, and look at those numbers and decide how to vote based on ensuring that a conservative doesn't get elected.
And who is behind that website?
Alice Klein is the most prominent person behind it, and she is editor of Now magazine in Toronto, which is sort of the Toronto's equivalent of the Georgia Strait. And so she's put her name to the site, and it's run by volunteers.
Are you voting strategically, Murray?
Well, it's interesting. I'm in Vancouver Centre, which is Hedy Fry's riding, and my guess is that she will probably win this riding. But a friend of mine, Michael Byers, is running for the NDP, and I'll be voting for Michael.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us this morning.
Okay.
I've been speaking with Murray Dauben. He's an author, journalist, and social activist. His commentaries are frequently published on the TIE website. To see the strategic voting recommendations on the website of Vote for Environment, you can go to voteforenvironment.ca.